Hi, and welcome, everyone. I'm Alex Lavoie, the Global Head of Operations at VIA. This is The Dispatch, a podcast series where we talk to experts about building the transportation of tomorrow. I'm really excited to be joined today by Dr. Rachel Gordon, who's an infectious disease doctor and professor of epidemiology at Columbia University's Irving Medical Center. Dr. Gordon, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Before we start, I wanted to mention a very quick disclaimer. Dr. Gordon's opinions shared on this podcast are her own professional opinions and don't necessarily represent the opinions of Columbia University. At VIA, Dr. Gordon has actually been helping us make sure that our mobility services are incorporating the latest expertise when it comes to COVID-19 safety, and her insights have been invaluable for our response to the pandemic. We wanted to have this conversation specifically to allow for a broader audience to benefit from them as well. Dr. Gordon, you have the unique perspective of both being an expert in one of the most important fields in the world right now, and also practicing in New York City, one of the places hit the earliest and most intensely by the COVID-19 pandemic. And on top of that, you've also been advising companies on their COVID-19 response and return to work plans. It's hard to imagine how you have time to fit it all in. To start with, it would be great to hear about what it's been like to be an expert in infectious diseases and epidemiology, practicing in a city that was, for a time at least, at the heart of the most serious pandemic the world has seen in a century. What has that been like?
Wow. So it's been very interesting, to say the least, to see everything that you've been studying and working for your entire life come to fruition for the entire world. Now for everyone, everything is about infectious diseases and transmission. For me, it's been like that, but hardly anyone else. Certainly, seeing what happened in New York City was really heartbreaking. I've never seen a hospital systems become overrun initially when they did at the beginning of the pandemic in the tri-state area. I think it was crushing for everyone in the community and their families, but also the healthcare workers. So that was definitely heartbreaking. At this point, you know, it's been really interesting in that to see how effective the measures in New York have been in terms of reducing the transmission and our COVID situation in New York. But now I'm in a very frustrated place because I'm seeing the pandemic really take off in the rest of the country and really see a need for education across the board to save people's lives.
Yeah, and I mean, by now we've all seen the pictures of sort of the public beaches or bars crowded with people without masks. If you think about it in the context of transportation, which we're talking about today, what do you think transit agencies and public health officials should be doing to ensure that riders adopt the recommended safety measures that you and other experts are recommending?
Sure, that's a really good question. I mean, I think one, you need to keep in mind the specific area. So if you're in part of the country where there's very little COVID, very little transmission, public transportation and transportation in general is going to be much safer there compared to some place right now like Florida, California, Texas, where there's widespread community transmission. So if you're someplace where there's widespread community transmission, you know, certainly they are moving people back to some phase one stay-at-home measures. And then, of course, there are places in between. When people do utilize transportation, though, they have to, you know, abide by the same exact safety measures that we normally would. Don't ride on transportation if you are sick at all. Wear a mask at all times to protect other people, and it probably offers some protection for you as well. Hand hygiene, bring hand sanitizer with you, wash your hands, and then watch your distance, right? Try to stay away from crowded transportation and, you know, keep your distance between as few people as possible. So yeah, same measures on transportation as other places.
Yeah, and we've seen some really interesting measures taken by some of the transit agencies in trying to help enforce that, right? We've seen, I think, from the MTA in New York, I know they're installing hundreds of hand sanitizer stations all over the subway system. So it's been really interesting to see what sort of innovations some of the agencies are implementing themselves.
Yeah, and as an infectious disease expert, that's a dream come true. I think they always should have been there, and I think they should stay there because that will help protect people from all kinds of infectious diseases, including COVID.
Yeah, yeah, that totally makes sense. If you worked at a transit agency and you were able to conceive of a tech-enabled transit service sort of from scratch, what are some of the top safety measures you'd put in place for riders of the service, for drivers and vehicles of the service?
Sure. So, wow, tech-enabled from the very beginning. Well, some of it, I would say, I would rely on technology if I got to build it from scratch. And then some things aren't that technological, right? Like hand sanitizer. Like I would make that accessible to everyone. So, you know, it's getting squeezed into my hand when I enter the vehicle and then when I exited the vehicle. You know, that should be there. Then masks, you know, the drivers, the passengers, they all need to be wearing masks. Should there be a reminder, flashing lights if you're not wearing your mask? Maybe the vehicle doesn't even go if you're not wearing your mask. Those safety measures rely on people, practicing those habits, which is so important. So, but in terms of technology, I mean, certainly, spacing people out. So if I were, let's say, looking at a bus, I might have different circles, like at least, 6 feet apart on the bus, so I could, or the train, or, whatever vehicle it may be, to make sure people were spaced out properly. I might have partitions in that vehicle to protect people from getting their respiratory secretions on other people. And I would really maximize ventilation. Certainly, windows open is one of the best kinds of ventilation. You know, fresh air in, bad air out. That's not always possible. So then having ventilation systems where you bring in clean, fresh air, and then you're also exiting the air from the vehicle, I would certainly have that built in as well. But no substitute for masks, hand hygiene, and keeping distance.
Yeah, and that seems to be the message we keep hearing over and over. One of the interesting things we've seen is some of the technology that's been sort of used or implemented by different agencies to help enforce social distancing or capacity management on transit. So the Long Island Railroad is one agency or one service that's introduced some interesting technology to automatically measure the weight of the train and determine capacity based on the weight of the train at any given point in time. We've actually introduced some new technology that we've partnered with a few agencies on, in which riders are actually pre-booking seats on fixed route buses, which is something that we're used to doing in movie theaters, but never before have been used to doing in buses. So there's definitely some interesting new things that have come about as a result of everything that's going on with COVID.
Yeah, these are great ideas across the board.
One concern many transit agencies have now is reduced revenue from lower ridership and the longer term budget impact lower revenue will have on city finances. How long, as an epidemiologist, how long do you expect the current state of very limited mobility to last? And what do you think is actually the likely path to COVID being eliminated as a day-to-day risk for people so that they can start to move around more regularly?
Sure. Again, I think it is very region dependent, right? So in some places like the states I mentioned, I think Florida is having over 50,000 new cases a day. You know, where COVID is exploding, there is no real safe way to move around with other people. But in places in New York where there's not widespread community transmission at the moment, it is much safer. And so people can go back to riding as long as they adhere by the new norm, which is, people wearing masks and all the things that we talked about. In terms of how long this is going to last, everyone tries to pin me down on this, but I really think, like, overall, this is going to last at least a year, maybe more. So I think, the places where they're having explosions, they're going to need to really kind of shut down, get transmission to be really low, and then slowly restart again, but to do so safely. So that means not seeing people out at bars with no masks on. They need to do it safely. I think when that happens, like that's when we'll start seeing like increased ridership in those areas. That's something I think we can start to do now in New York, but other parts of the country, we can't.
Yeah, and of course, there's always the concern that there's a sort of what I guess many people will call the second wave that comes at some point, and how you eventually need to sort of revert back, like we're seeing in some of the states that are starting to be hit hard again.
Exactly. Like opening up cannot be like opening up floodgates. Opening up means, only parts, some members of a company going back at a time. It might mean staggering your commute times to decrease numbers. It means a lot of different things.
Do you think that the long-term solution is a vaccine, and that really is the only way out of this?
Well, I certainly hope that there will be a vaccine. That if you could, even if you had a partially effective vaccine and you could vaccinate everyone, that would be a huge win. And I think that's when we really can start getting back to normal. Without it, right, in order to achieve herd immunity, because you can get that through vaccination or through people becoming infected and becoming immune, hopefully, that if you got herd immunity by everyone literally getting infected, you would have tremendous losses. So we don't want to get, we don't want to let that happen and get there that way. So I really am holding out hope for a vaccine. The problem is that that's going to take a while. And in the meanwhile, we have to stick to like the rules back from 1918. Like that's what we have. Wear a mask, wash your hands, stay away from other people. But it works, even though it's over 100, those rules are over 100 years old. So,
but yeah. It's kind of amazing how much the history is informative in this particular case.
Yeah. And we're seeing with the reopenings and people not heeding those rules, what's happening. They're having to shut back down again.
If we look at parts of the world that have already opened up, and at this point, those are much more so outside the United States, we're seeing sort of similar patterns across the board. In the immediate aftermath of a lockdown, people are riding public transit less and largely flocking to private vehicles. And we've all seen the news about soaring bike sales as well. What are your expectations for what will happen here in the US? Will people eventually go back to their old ways of moving around in public transit? Or is there a chance that some habits are changed forever?
Well, I think this is where you get in some ways at, access and disparities. For some people of, certain socioeconomic, status, like they can afford their own vehicles and they can get from place to place in private vehicles. And maybe, we'll never go back to mass transit. But, on a larger scale, that is not a long-term solution. I mean, most large cities, right, they require mass transit. They're moving millions of people every day. There is no other affordable way. There's no way, like looking at New York City, there is no way that everyone can go to work in their own car. Like, no one would ever go anywhere. They would just sit parked in front of their house. So I think we will need to go back to using public transportation and other forms of group transportation. However, the way we do it's going to be different, right? We already talked about the mask. I'll be quiet about the mask, but we might need to rethink, rush hour. We're going to have to rethink volume. We have to really make a lot of changes.
Yeah, and in some ways, with social distancing in effect, it feels even more critical that we figure out mass transit, right? Because it has the chance of making other forms of transit even more unsustainable. So I think we certainly would agree with that here.
Yeah. Yeah, impossible.
Agreed. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Dr. Gordon. It's been really interesting to hear your perspective on what are obviously really critical issues in our world today and in the world of public transit. I want to thank you for joining us, and I encourage everyone who tuned in to our chat with Dr. Gordon to check out even more of our interviews with experts and transit leaders around the world on The Dispatch. Thanks so much.